Blog Talk Radio.
President recognizes Mr. Adams of Massachusetts.
Objects of the most stupendous magnitude. Measures which will affect the lives of millions, born and unborn, are now before us. And we must expect a great expense of blood to obtain them. But we must always remember that a free constitution of civil government cannot be purchased at too dear a rate, as there is nothing on this side of Jerusalem of greater importance to mankind. My worthy colleague from Pennsylvania has spoken with great ingenuity and eloquence. He has given you a grim prognostication of our national future. But where he foresees apocalypse, I see hope. I see a new nation ready to take its place in the world. Not an empire, but a republic. And a republic of laws, not men. Gentlemen, we are in the very midst of revolution. The most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world. How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves and their children. I am not without apprehensions, gentlemen. But the end we have in sight is more than worth all the means. I believe, sirs, that the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready to stake upon it. While I live, let me have a country. A free country.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson podcasting here live, understanding the times in which we live today. I'm going to check and see if my another show is on here right now. I'm just going to check with that, and then I got to little intro here I want to play, and a couple talking points here that I'd just like to put on record, if I can. Let's see here. I think we got it here. Let's see what happens here. See if we can connect there and see what's going on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
But two separate categories, one of being Republican, one of being Democrat. You, myself, many others have always said that it is just two opposite sides to the same Jewish coin. Okay.
Yeah, correct.
So let's put it in another fashion so people can understand this. You know, the conservatives, these aren't the conservatives of 1930, 1940, 1950. Right. No. The conservatives of today are what were liberals 20 years ago. Right. That's how you get a liberal and conservative, a progressive and a conservative. The progressive pushes their agenda, ultimately stays there, turns conservative, and the next group comes and tries to push the bar even farther on the progressive. That's the reason why now we're at the socialist aspect. They finally
Okay, these are the Three Stooges. They do a podcast here on the NSM platform here, so I'm going to try calling into their podcast and seeing if I can get on there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to replay this for as long as I can.
Body is they finally hit fuck it. And,
yeah.
have realized because of their inability to
every
act,
other word out of their mouth.
They've
yeah.
done lost
Where?
Control of the demographic. And the demographic
well,
is key to any political party. Like the Democrats, they flooded this country with refugees from, you know, Somalia and the Middle East and Mexico. Your vote has now been diluted. You as a voter have been replaced, period.
Well, see, I don't think the Republicans said so much as fuck it as they said, where's the money?
Yeah, that's
right,
it.
Right.
That's
they,
it, exactly.
They gave up the demographics and what their constituents wanted in exchange for the lobbying group's financial donations. And
right.
all of the major lobbying groups in D.C. are Jewish financed.
Now here's a prime example of that.
Going too.
And then, Jay, I'm going to let you get on this, but this is a prime example of this. Anybody remember when the news broke the story when COVID first hit its holy shit mode last year about the three Republicans that were on, I believe, now I could be mistaken, the Intel committee that were being briefed on COVID and the possibilities of what it could do here, and then all of a sudden they dumped their stocks and walked out like bandits with a shit ton of money? Now to a lot of people, like, I don't know, we could ask Martha Stewart, that's classified as inside stock trading, which is illegal for the private sector, but because of that immunity that you get as a politician, oh, wow, nothing. Well, imagine that. It goes back to what I said on last week's program. We need to do away with the immunity so that there can be what? Accountability. Now, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about is politicians can get away with it, walk scot-free, whereas, you know, you and I did that, private citizen, nope, locked up, off to jail.
Right, we're going to prison.
You know, yeah.
In reality, it should be, you know, ultimately, I believe everybody should be held accountable for whatever it is that they do to violate the rights of another individual, so to speak. But
correct.
A politician should be held to a higher standard, meaning that if I, as a private citizen, would get 10 years, a politician, in my opinion, should get 15. Because the position
right.
that they are in the position to lead the nation down that moral compass road to a higher plane.
Yeah. But see, they had that inside knowledge that they knew that COVID was that it was getting ready. So they knew that all this the market volatility was going to happen. So they knew I'm going to dump
right.
all this stock, get out of it before I lose all this money, which is even more
right, before I become bankrupt.
Money. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you guys
imagine that, right? But hey, it's legal.
Hey, I wanted to hit on one thing that you guys had talked about earlier. You guys were talking about the vaccine and whatnot. And I want to remind everyone, this COVID vaccine that you can go and get, I'm not against individuals getting it. I'm not getting it. My children aren't getting it. Anyone that I love that doesn't have severe health issues, I will highly recommend not getting it. But if you have any predisposition that might lead you to having serious side effects that could potentially cause your death, then you might want to, you know, consider it. Do your research and see if it's the best option for you. I'm not against people wanting to get it. If you want to get it, that's on you. But you need to understand something. Everyone needs to understand something. This vaccine will not prevent you from contracting COVID-19. It will not prevent you from contracting the coronavirus and bacteria or whatever, the coronavirus. It will not. It doesn't prevent that. What it does
right.
is it prevents the worst case scenario side effects from being able to manifest themselves. It's kind of like giving your body some extra white blood cells to help fight the infection before it comes.
Correct.
So you can get the shot. You can go get the second shot. You can jump in line and get the booster a month later. And guess what? 2 days later, you can go take a test, and you could potentially be positive.
It's an issue you know I care passionately about, so here is my position loud and clear. I'm in favor of a nationwide ban on military-style semi-automatic assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. I want to close the gun show loopholes and require private dealers to run background checks on buyers at gun shows. And I'd like to see the president increase federal funding for mental health treatment for all Americans who need it. I think these are entirely reasonable reactions to the outrages that have occurred in America over the last few months. But tonight, I'll go head-to-head with a man who actually wants to deport me for having these very views. And over 104,000 Americans apparently agree with him.
Pierce, I can't say how much I agree with your opinion and what you've stated previously. I appreciate you having your First Amendment right, and I am glad you're speaking out, because that's exactly what we need.
Anyone who's watched this show over the past few weeks knows I've taken a pretty strong stand on guns in America. It's on a scale of notice of supporters of gun rights, and it's led to a petition on the White House official website, no less. It's entitled, and I quote, "Deport British citizen Piers Morgan for attacking Second Amendment." Take a look. More than 104,000 people have signed it so far. And joining me now is one of the people behind the petition, Alex Jones. He's host of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome to you.
Pierce, thanks for having me.
Why do you want to deport me?
Well, we did it as a way to bring attention to the fact that we have all of these foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government. Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism, and the mega banks that control the planet and brag that they've taken over in Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, you name it, brag that they're going to get our guns as well. They've taken everybody's guns but the Swiss and the American people. And when they get our guns, they can have their world tyranny. While the government buys 1.6 billion bullets, armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, predator drones, armed, now in U.S. skies, being used to arrest people in North Dakota, the Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Take the women in India. Your piece earlier on CNN I was watching during Anderson Cooper's show didn't tell you that the women of India have signed giant petitions to get firearms because the police can't and won't protect them. The answer
Wait a minute.
I have FBI crime statistics that come out a year late, 2011. 20%+ crime drop in the last 9 years. Real violent crime, because more guns means less crime. Britain took the guns 15, 16 years ago. Tripling of your overall violent crime. True, we have a higher gun violence level, but overall mugging, stabbings, deaths, those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna, my family was at the core on both sides starting that, because Santa Anna came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce, don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you come to America? I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
You finished?
Yes, I am finished. You will not take my right. You go through background checks to get guns. How about Prozac? You know the number one, that's the big sponsor, isn't it? Or that whole class of drugs.
Let me ask you a question.
Got to cut that off, don't you? Don't want to talk about the U.S. number one cause of death is suicide now, because they give people suicide mass murder pills.
Calm down.
Your answer is give more money to the psychiatrist and psychologist to put more crazy people on drugs that make them kill people, Pierce.
Let's try and have a debate here.
Yeah.
Answer me this question.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick of the same old script here, bud.
It's fine, bud. How many gun murders were there in America last year? Do you know?
There were about 11,458, and about 74% of those were gang-related, gangbangers shooting each other. You get 3,500 to 4,000.
Okay, that wasn't the
case. How many people died from infections in hospitals? 197,000.
Let me just ask a second.
That's right.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
No, how many
kill
gun
people
murders
every year, but they're scared to swim?
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those
how
statistics.
Many, do you know?
It was only a few hundred.
No. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murders
in
Britain last
year. UK violent crime capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me give you more.
It's a simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're a very loud
man. That's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
It's not a little factoid.
I already said earlier, England has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Let me try exactly my point.
But you've got hordes of people burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
What a ridiculous
thing. They arrest people in England if they defend themselves. That's on record. My God, you have got a total police state. Everybody's fleeing that country because you've had to flee here, bud. Why don't you tell folks? Yeah, you fled here. Why don't you go back and face the charges for the hacking scandal?
Answer this question. How many guns?
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order.
Okay.
You're a hatchet man. And I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear your Jolly Roger.
Okay.
You know what?
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin? I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11,000. Do you understand the difference between 11,000
England wants
35.
To ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
But do you understand the difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen,
do you understand?
Do you understand you're not going to pull on America's heartstrings? They know your script, okay? You're not going to get our guns. By the way, you guys always say, we just want to take the semi-autos, okay, and all this other stuff. When semi-autos aren't even, rifles aren't even used, but in a fraction of the crimes, you can pull those numbers up, okay?
Let me ask you one question. Which weapon was predominantly used in the Aurora movie theater shooting?
M4 AR-15 variant.
So it was a semi-automatic assault rifle.
Again.
Okay,
but statistically,
question.
It's very, very low.
Do you agree it was the single biggest shooting in the history of America in terms of people hit by a shooter? Do you know that?
No, I believe that there were others. About over 30.
No, this was the single biggest mass shooting.
Well, listen, you're just been bombings of Wall Street.
Let me ask you a second question.
Why can't the pilots have firearms?
Alex,
we trust them to fly the planes.
Alex, you've had a lot to say.
No, my point is the Second Amendment is sacrosanct, and you're not getting it.
Do you know which weapon was used in the Oregon shopping mall mass shooting recently?
I understand that people who are mentally ill on all the serotonin reuptake inhibitors who play these shoot-em-up games want to go out and do this.
Alex.
Because there's criminals, I don't lose my rights, Pierce.
Alex.
Because there's criminals, I don't lose my rights.
Just answer the question.
Yeah.
Do you know what the weapon used was?
Listen, let me ask you a question.
No, answer.
I've got the FBI statistics that the so-called semi-autos that you talk
about. Take a break. When we come back.
Again, you're not going to get the guns.
When we come back, try and answer my question.
Yeah, all you're going to do is sit there and play little factoid questions. Overall crime has gone up over 20%.
Back now with Alex Jones. A man says I should be deported for my stand on guns. So, Alex, here's how this is going to work, and it's entirely down to you. I'm going to ask you some questions. In the spirit of a proper debate, and you've had a lot to say so far on the show, a lot of it aimed at me, which is fine. But I want you to try and answer the questions. It's a proper debate, okay? I'm not trying to trip you up.
No, it's not a debate. You're running the show. You bring in your victims up front. Look, you got your little note card.
Yeah. Okay.
I just gave you FBI statistics that violent crime and gun crime is down over
20%. Let me just ask you
And you want to go to little factoids.
No, they're not little
factoids. Anybody can pull those up. Listen.
Do you know what...
you have a bodyguard?
Alex.
Why do you have bodyguards?
I don't have a bodyguard.
Yeah, I've seen you on the news with them.
Don't
you
want
to protect your wife from hoodlums or you want to call the police?
Let me ask you this question.
Why does Diane Feinstein until 60 minutes that she plans to try to take Mr. and Mrs. America's guns.
Stop talking over me.
You guys want to disarm all of America.
No, I don't.
Diane Feinstein billed us gun confiscation.
No, let me clarify for you. You don't seem to understand.
First you register, then you confiscate. It's always done the same.
Here's what the campaign on this
show. Well, here, give me your little cue cards and I'll answer your questions for you.
What was the weapon used at Sandy Hook?
I've already gone over that and already answered it for you.
We haven't talked about Sandy Hook.
No, again.
What was the weapon?
It's a .223 M4.
Right.
Again, but statistically, they're using very low percentage of shooting,
but
period.
Are you seeing
people wouldn't go swimming because the movie Jaws, even though great white sharks kill five people a year.
Alex,
you're trying to scare people.
Let me say something.
There's no metal shark in the water.
The same type of weapon was used in the last three mass shootings.
And Hitler used semi-autos to kill people.
Why would you
And so did Mao.
Why would you...
Why is the government arming to the teeth against this?
Alex, I don't...
What about Fast and Furious?
Alex.
Why do our government ship guns into Mexico?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
Let's have a debate.
A false flag?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
I get accused...
Why'd they blow up Building 7 down the street here in New York?
I get accused when I get you guys on of talking over you, of being rude. I'm trying to be civil, right? You've got to try and answer some of the questions, right? Here's my issue for you. Why do people need, civilians, need an AR-15 type assault rifle? Why
I already said statistically they're used in a very low amount of the crimes. That's an FBI fact.
They've been used in the last three mass shootings.
Yes.
Why do
people
need
them? I'll
tell you
why. Because they advertise it in the media. Anybody knows that if somebody jumps off the Empire State Building, they put cops up there the next day because copycats come to do it again. The media hypes and hypes and hypes.
And that's not the question.
Don't just commit suicide.
Alex, why do people
need
them?
Don't commit suicide by killing a bunch of kids. And here's the gun to use because it's the one the U.S. Army uses.
Why do people need them?
They need them to protect us from the number one killer in history. Mm-hmm. Government in the 20th century, university study out of Hawaii killed 292 million people. It's called democide. Google it, folks.
Do you believe everyone in America, should everyone in America, therefore, have an AR-15 if they want one?
Statistically, where there's more guns, there's lower crime. Mm-hmm. The highest crime is in Bloomberg, you know.
But you have the most
controlled
guns
areas
of any of the 23 richest countries in the world, and you have
All right, everybody, that was a debate between Alex Jones and Piers Morgan on gun control. It's actually very funny, I thought, when I first watched it. But I'm tuning into the this other podcast right here. I'll see if they're still on the air.
Eddie, I'm all about pissing everybody off, and I just want to make sure that we've gotten everybody. And I know we've gotten a lot, so I just – did we piss off the women yet?
Yep.
Oh, no. I think we did.
Okay, well, I want to make sure I piss the women off before we end this show tonight. Just so that way we can get everybody. We've gotten white men, we've gotten colored, we've gotten the Jew, we've gotten them all. So let's get white women real quick. And women really just in general. And I'm sorry, but if I was a woman and a transvestite beat me as a natural born woman out for Woman of the Year, I'd be a little butthurt. Or coochie hurt,
you know,
whatever they want to call it.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
So, I mean, you know, that just shows you the dominancy and the supremacy of white men. A white man can go out and be a Woman of the Year better than an actual woman. That's
I bet Bruce Jenner did that as a fact. I bet he did that as a dare. Like, hey, I bet you can't win Woman of the Year. Oh, yeah, I'll hold my beer. Watch this.
Hold my beer, bitch. So
if
Jenner ran for president, if Jenner ran for president and won, would he be the first woman president?
Oh, damn, that's a tough one. I mean, I think he would still be a man. If you still got it, you're a guy.
Yeah, because
they haven't had a
cut off. He'd be the first one of those. See, that's what I don't like the whole, let's call it transgender. No, it's a transvestite. You know, something that used to be disdained and just abhorrent in society, something that wasn't socially acceptable, a transvestite, a tranny.
I call him a lunatic is what I call him, but, you know, call me crazy.
Right. But I'm just saying, I mean, you know, this shit's crazy. I mean, how fucked up is it that a man can get gender reassignment surgery and win Woman of the Year? I mean, take that in. Like, really take.
All right, everybody. That's a platform over there that does another blog talk show. Obviously, their IQs are, puffed on paper. I don't know. I don't even think they exist, but I've tried to call into the show for about 3 hours, and they let me on by accident, and of course I denigrated their argument, their whole discussion, with facts. And the thing of it is I don't think they're really attempting to grow as an organization with that type of attitude. I just don't get the platform there with that podcast. I just don't understand. I went over to there to, you know, bring different voices and try to grow the point of the organization to higher standards and to make them a voice in the out there where, you know, I get the fact that there's people that are so closed-minded that just because if they have a swastika or anything that's white or pro-white, it becomes offensive, and they, because there is a narrative out there that you know, denigrates that the white community out there has to be ashamed of themselves and whatnot, and that's something that we have to, that's very, very, it's something that we have to address as a people. But addressing it the way that this podcast is doing, I haven't figured them out. I'm going to try to analyze it a little bit more and try to figure it out. But I do know that their characters are very suspect. These particular characters that are hosting this podcast, very suspect on what they're doing and how they're trying to achieve their goals. Now, if they want to do a comedy show, if that's what it was all about, then that's fine. I mean, I get it. It wasn't very funny. You know, to insult people, to put people down and ridicule them, that's not going to up. And, you know, in a situation that we're in America right now, that's not a wise thing to do, to divide your own people. There's nothing wrong with calling out people for what they are and who they are, but to divide, and I don't agree with that. That's something that I can't, I don't really want to partake in. So I don't think I'll be calling into that particular podcast ever again. I just don't think that's the proper way to advance your people. You know, if that's what you stand for, if that's what you claim to stand for. Now, me, I'm for the advancement of America and the Constitution and, of course, my people. But, you know, there's a place for all people here in society. We live in a sophisticated world today where, you know, people can take their own positions in society and their own, I guess you could say, sectors. You can be separate voluntarily. And I believe that you have the right to do that. You're free. Every human being on this planet has a right to live their lives and to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to pursue that happiness. Now, that's our belief here. Of course, here in America, it's supposed to be. And for us to advance that on any other country is wrong also. So they have their country, their sovereign country, has a right to believe whatever they want to believe, as long as it's not conflicting or oppressing the people of our country or other countries. And that's where America does step in, because America is a country today that gets involved with, comes to the aid of other countries. And, you know, now today, for the political reasons that it does, corruption obviously has happened, and there's a lot of things that we should not have gotten involved with. I believe if we obey the Constitution, follow the Constitution, then we do the right thing, okay? We intervene for the right reasons then. For instance, the Gulf War was not a good reason to intervene. It was wrong. It was an unconstitutional war. Afghanistan, no reason to go into Afghanistan whatsoever. We lost American lives over there for what? To chase around some people in a cave, in caves that were no threat to us whatsoever. So anyway, that's a whole other subject and topic that we've discussed many, many times on this podcast and analyzed it. This is just a night show where I just felt compelled to speak about some of these issues because I called into the podcast and I was ridiculed and made fun of, basically, and knocked down. Now, I'm a host on there, a guest host on the same platform on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, they picked a fight where, now, let's see if how closed-minded they really are. We're going to see, because now I'm going to come back at that, and I'm going to use my brains and my intelligence and what I know and my knowledge to, let's say, weed out the weak. And that's going to be my, you know, and that's the way I'm going to have to do it. I believe ignoring this does not make it go away. I don't believe in that saying, just ignore them and they go away. I don't believe in that. I do believe that they self-destruct, or they're destroying themselves for a particular reason, maybe. Provocateurs, infiltrators for some reason. I don't know. My bigger battle right now, of course, is with the Restoring Our Republic, and that's what it's all about, and doing a show on Thomas Jefferson, I'm going to do that for a supporter of my podcast. I'm looking into that, putting together something for that where we could talk about Thomas Jefferson, because Andrew Jackson, another great president, we did one on that, and that was a pretty good show, actually. Andrew Jackson, a guy that was a no-nonsense type of guy, but he wasn't a clown like these guys, you know. Now, I'm not don't get me wrong now. Don't twist my words around. I believe Bert over there in the NSM is a good guy, respectful, carries himself well. He's very well-spoken, very smart and intelligent. I may not agree with everything that he says, but I would say the vast majority of everything that he stands for, I do stand for also. If we had more people like him out there for our people backing us up in our corner, I believe that we would go a long way. So his leadership qualities are very, good, in my opinion. And I've been around the block. Everyone knows that, but many, many times. So I'm a very, very good judge of character usually. I'm not perfect. There's only one being that's perfect, and that's God our creator. Obviously, he created the earth, planet Earth, and the heavens and the universe, and it's perfect. I mean, so I would say God is perfect. Now, he created man, and we know that man is far from perfect. So, but anyway, that's a theological discussion. But, yeah, we'll get into Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to get on there, and I'm going to pull out my I guess you could say, game face. But let me play something for them, these three stooges over there. I mean, this guy the other night, he's talking about eugenics. I mean, he's talking about that if a baby is born and it has any type of defect and that where it may become a burden to the family or society, that it should be murdered. This is what this person says. This is what he believes. We have people like that believe this in society. And that's a sickness. That's a sickness of hate and anger. And that's not right. Now, that's a reprobate mind. There's no rational conclusion. There's no reasoning with somebody like that. You can't reason, you know, if that's what they truly believe. I'll certainly pray for them and pray for my enemies. But, you know, to do battle, I'll do battle too. You know, when Jesus said, you know, poke me in this eye and poke me, you know, turn the cheek, you know, that's not what he meant. Okay, so I will sell my script and pick up my sword. You know, put the full armor of God on, put the helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of. You know, it's just that these people just. I mean, people like that. I said I've had them when I had the Mandelicons on and the Black Jesus ministers, and they run away. They run away, and I put them on Front Street and make them look like the heretic and fool they are, you know. And I'm not here. That's not the main objective of my show. My show is understanding the times in which we live today and to help people understand what the heck is going on today so we can better ourselves and look forward for tomorrow and build a better place for our children. If we're not trying to build a better place for our children or for what we're living today, then that right there is something that should be dealt with. I don't know, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. But let me play something here for that as a tribute to the dumbed-down moral decay of our society here. Let's see here. What do I got here in lineup? Let's try this one here.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down.
Harvard researchers have found children who live in high fluoride areas have significantly lower IQs.
Enjoy your
extra big-ass fries!
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba!
researchers found members of Congress, on average, speak at a 10th grade level. Most Americans read at an 8th or 9th grade level.
Look, now, I'll talk slow so you can understand me.
It was just a few thousand years ago that our ancestors were using primitive grunts to communicate.
Hillary's a good leader. I trust Hillary. Hillary is a good leader.
I stand here as a free slave.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Mankind became stupider at a frightening rate.
You're a white man.
You want to know what I found out? Most of England speaks Americanish.
I don't feel no ways tired.
I believe that our education, like such as South Africa and Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa.
What does that mean?
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
We now go live to Violence Channel correspondent for Micah Davis at the Extreme Court with highlights on today's trial.
Good to see you in this exercise and transparency and democracy.
Is that what it is?
A great dust bowl had ravaged food supplies, and the number one movie in the country was called Ass.
If Mr. Trump is suggesting that there is a conspiracy theory, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. Of course the elections will not be rigged. What does that mean?
Obama, you should run for a third term because you need
to... Obama, third term!
How many sides does a triangle have?
Damn, four.
There's no sides.
What's Osama bin Laden most infamous for?
Osama?
Yeah.
Or Obama?
Osama.
I have no idea who Osama is.
Which state does KFC come from?
What, the chicken?
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Okay, do you know what KFC stands for?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
A little further south from that facility, there's a completely separate building where they get this change.
All right, Joseph Gibson podcasting here live, understanding the times in which we live today. Oh, boy, sometimes it makes you wonder what's really out there. I mean, are we really in that much trouble? Well, let's get back down to basics here. Today, you know, we're having a gas shortage here on the East Coast. You know, shouldn't we be talking about that? I mean, wouldn't that be much more important to talk about? Wouldn't we talk about solutions? We all want to talk about solutions. Attacking the hardcore things that are really facing us today. You know, the problems that we face today as a people. As a people.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
You're watching The Madness of a Lost Society. November 26, 2010, Black Friday revealed yet further evidence of the complete madness of the populace of our lost society.
case you didn't hear, the leaders of China and Russia.
China and Russia said that they are renouncing the dollar.
The best way to think of it is a ticking time bomb. At some stage, the dollar will fall sharply.
Now, you might be saying, Neil, what the heck does this mean to me?
As the dollar loses status as the world's reserve currency, as mystery missiles launch just off our shores, as North and South Korea take the world to the brink of war, as the TSA violates all measure of liberty and constitutional rights, and as the U.S. military itself prepares for the coming total economic collapse and breakdown of civil order, this is what Americans care about. Wanton, lustful commercialism, acting like animals fighting over trinkets made by human beings for slave wages. As you watch this horrific video, do you think any of these people own a single ounce of physical precious metal? Any gold? Any silver? Do you think that even one of them understands what the Federal Reserve is, or that the Fed is spending them into oblivion and economic slavery? Do you think even one among them has made any preparations at all for the day when there is no food on grocery store shelves? And do you think the morally bankrupt executives at Target or Walmart even care? This is what we've become. A decadent, mindless culture who, by virtue of this complete and willful ignorance, are now officially complicit in the crimes being perpetrated against us. Do you think these people who behave like animals, literally trampling each other over $198 laptops and $10 toasters, will even pause for a moment to consider their actions before they riot and burn entire cities when the days of hyperinflation finally arrive? When the grocery stores are bare? When they are truly desperate? This, my friends, is what a dumbed-down, morally bankrupt, completely broken society looks like, and this is how it behaves. No outrage over the bankers raping them. No outrage over their gutted industry. No outrage over their plundered dollar. Just blind, wanton stupidity. Just bread and circuses. The elite are social Darwinists, and they believe what they can get away with is fair game as long as we allow it. This is social engineering, and they've done it to us by design. They've turned us into animals that they can corral. We are no longer citizens in a republic safeguarded by our elected representatives. We are consumers feeding at a corporate trough managed by officials.
Will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars?
Hundreds and hundreds of banks, any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve System.
Tell us who they are.
No.
If this is America, who will stop them? Our entire system is corrupt and needs to be dismantled and begun anew. But from what base? If what happened on Friday across America is any indication of the condition of the American populace, then our very foundations are built of sand. May God forgive us for what we've become and for what we've allowed to happen to our nation. And may those of us with the courage and sense to do it renounce this behavior and the monstrous marketing ploy that is Black Friday in its entirety. This, my friends, is not us. We are the Republic. We are the informed. We are the proactive ones. And it is our job to lift up those who are lost. And saving our Republic is a full-time job. May God bless the Republic.
It looks like the sand people did this all right. Look, the Scaffy sticks, Bantha tracks. I never heard of them hitting anything this big before.
They didn't, but we are meant to think they did. These tracks are side by side. Sand people always ride single file to hide their numbers.
These are the same Jawas that sold us R2 and 3PO.
And these last points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
But why would Imperial 2-point fly to Jawas? If they placed the robots here, then they have learned who they sold them to. That would lead them back home.
Oh, wait, Luke! It's too dangerous! You know this is life to pass away. For life presents the possibility. Each and every day, I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me.
Fear of life is a path to the dark side. Death is a natural part of life. Rejoice for those around you who transform into the Force.
Sun will die and burn the night away.
stood before me was my enemy. Come to take away my liberty.
Now you will experience.
I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
He's in handcuffs and face down. You heard lawyers say up to seven individuals working for the sheriff or jail are in the cell. Both women and men deputies forcibly removed all of her clothes.
Attachment leads to jealousy. The shadow of greed, that is.
When you put your hands into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
Laugh, the Jedi are no more. Not if anything to say about it. I am. The control rule is not short enough at all.
However, the space that you are currently on is an endangered species. Has endangered species on it, and you will need to remove your tent and your tarp at this time. And I'm asking again for your voluntary compliance.
We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like Matt through a thing that you man will be able to say when you get back home, and you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson back here live, understanding the times in which we live today. Several issues here that, like I said, if you're going to be tuning into my understanding the times in which we live today, make sure you tune in Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number over there to call in and join in would be 516-453-6058. And like with any type of group or organization, when you're trying to promote it or trying to make something grow, there's reasons why people don't want them to grow. And, you know, there are ways to grow your organization. You know, particularly this is, you know, very, very important. There's so many things I'm going to go over here right now. First of all, you want to offer incentives, you know. Very, very important, you know. You know, whenever a current member recruits a new member, that person, you know, a person's name is, basically entered into a drawing for a gift basket maybe, or a gift, or a particular job. A discount on a monthly annual membership. You know, they can win an end-of-the-year award for the people who recruited the most new members. A gift card for each new member recruited. Create excitement. Think about the types of stories you share with your friends and family and members. One of the ways you get people talking about your organization is to create memorable, share-worthy experiences for your members. Try the following ideas to get people talking. Host an in-person event and making your event a memorable experience for the attendees by bringing in a popular speaker. Giving out top-notch swag or offering people the chance to take fun pictures and a special photo ops, I guess you could say. You know, these are just ideas. Once the organization grows large, you become popular. You know, enter all your event attendees into a drawing for a special gift at the event. A person wins the gift will love telling the story of his or her big win. And the people who didn't win will talk about how amazing the giveaway was. Create buzz for your event on social media. By crowdsourcing your event content, creating an event page, event pages on social media sites like Facebook, live streaming your event, or creating an online conference photo of the day contest. Make your member meetings extraordinary by giving attendees coloring books, holding your meeting while you play a pickup basketball game or whatever, or making people sing the Star Spangled Banner or something like that. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, do positive things. You know, keep your current members engaged always. Don't divide them. The more you engage with your members, the more likely they'll be to promote your organization to their peers. Encourage your members to share your email messages by include unique and exciting stories or useful educational content. Make your email so helpful and interesting that people won't be able to stop themselves from forwarding them to their friends and family. Your phone calls can be memorable, too. Think of a personal and memorable way to say thanks when you call current members. Tell them you appreciate their membership, their donation, or event attendance. Your organization will stick out in people's minds when they have the opportunity to speak to someone one-on-one about something related to your organization. And nothing is more important than your heritage, your pride, your history, your foundations, and what you believe in. You believe in the Constitution, you believe in your republic, you believe in whatever it may be. You do these things, you will succeed. Make it easy for your members to engage with you online by publishing free content regularly, telling visual stories on social media sites like Pinterest, Instagram, and enabling comments on your blog posts, social media posts, and online forums. You know, run a public relations campaign, for goodness sake. Press release are a great way to generate media coverage for your organization. The trick is writing a compelling release that piques them to the point of that they have no choice but to talk about, even if it's in a negative way, because we know the media will talk negatively when it comes to some of the organizations out there that we're talking about right now. Always include the 5 W's in your release. Who, where, when, and why. Okay? Once you've completed your news release, find appropriate media targets to distribute the release to reporters who cover news related to your organization or cause. There's a podcast show. I'm a guest speaker over there. Instead, what you're going to do, you're going to knock me down, and you're going to tear me apart, and you're going to ignore my calls. Real smart. Not too bright. Unless you have another agenda. Ask your members to tell their friends and family members about your organization. You can probably come up with a quick mental list of your most engaged members. These are the people you've built a personal connection with, the ones who show up for every event that you go to or that you throw and are the first to respond to your organization's emails. But have you ever asked these alter engaged members to help you spread the word about your organization? For example, if you're sailing, if you're sailing a club, you can ask whether your members know any other sailors, you know, or if they regularly attend sailing related events where they could mention your group. So, for instance, if you're here part of this group and it's a political activist, or you're trying to start a movement, ask. You know, have questions related to that. You know, there's many like-minded people across the country that believe a lot of what's being discussed now on these podcast shows, for instance. You can also ask your members if there's anything they need to help strike up conversations with their peers about your organization. You can offer things like phone scripts, emails, templates, brochures, business cards. You can even direct your members to your crowdfunding page for extra details about your latest project. So, publish testimonials on your website. Why not take the words out of someone's mouth and use those words to your advantage? Testimonials are highly effective marketing strategy, and it's a good idea to include them on your website, in your brochure copy, and on your social media profiles. Researchers have even found that adding testimonials to lead generation pages, like a website page where you ask a potential member to join, can increase your conversation by 50%. That means 50% more may sign up to join your organization if you include a testimony on your sign-up page. To get started, ask your most engaged members if they're willing to give you a quote about your organization to use in your marketing materials. If someone seems willing but hesitates to get back to you, send that person a pre-written testimonial and ask him or her to approve or edit it. It's easier to edit a testimonial than it is to write one from scratch. Man, I got a million ways to do this, and I can. But when you deal with pinheads, how could you? You can't throw water on a rock and expect it to grow. When you throw a rock in a lake, it sinks to the bottom. It's not going to float. It's just, you know, you got to build trust with your members. There's another key point. Build trust. This is an important one there. Hate to break it to you. You simply must build trust with your members. Without, they'll never recommend your organization or send referrals or invite others to join. Make sure you're being honest and transparent with your members and always keep your promises. If you mess up, apologize publicly if you need to. Ha, 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 ha. Not a bad idea, huh? No, let's divide. Let's divide. Let's ridicule. Let's piss people off. Let's piss people off. Yeah, that's good. Conflict and animosity towards each other is not smart. How about towards your enemy? That might create a friction in a conversation. Duh. I told you, I got a million of them. But you can't talk to people that are so closed-minded that they're complete idiotic, ignoramus, idiot jackasses. And you can feel the anger. One guy on there, it was like a growl. You know, he wanted to come through the phone. You know, it's like unbelievable. And they're punks. Most of them are. Anybody who has to prove a point that bad and that much. And see, I never run away from a challenge, especially on a debate or a conversation, and unless it comes to a complete standstill and there's no progression. I mean, when it's just like you said, he said, he said, you said, I know you are, but what am I? Those types of arguments, those have no type of formula to win mixed up with each other. You just can't win that those types of arguments. You're just not gonna. But productive ones where you can grow off of And even if you still disagree at the end and you still are not even on the same side, at least others will see what you stand for. And you're going to get people like-minded to come on to your side. You know, and that's what I say. And that's how you grow an organization. Many different ways to grow an organization. And that's the thing, is that but when you have pinheads, individual pinheads that don't want to try to grow or learn from each other, what are you going to do? How are you going to progress? How are you going to grow for something that's so important? For instance, your people, your heritage, your country. It's very difficult to do that, and that's why it's a losing battle. And we're losing. The globalists are dividing, they're conquering, and they're enjoying it. While they do it, they're stepping on us. Our people will be the minority before you know it. For God's sake, probably by the time the next election comes, the way they're coming across the border right now. But we're going to joke around. This is funny. Hey, look, everyone likes to have fun. It's not, you know, but at the same time, you don't do it at your own people's expense at this time and moment in the game. We're in the middle of a battle here. Whatever kind of battle it is, whatever battle you choose it to be, that you choose to fight and pick and go after, then you have to win. And when you see you're winning, then you can choose your own terms on how you want to win. There's many different aspects of the Electrician of War. I've been around the block many times. People, most of these people that talk to me don't even know my history. That's if they knew. And some of you out there listening right now, you know who I am. You know where I've been. I mean, and this is the documentation of it. So, you know, when you almost die twice, almost been murdered twice, literally came out of your body, died, laid there in the middle of the road, I don't need to go into details about my personal life, but I'm just saying that's, you know, you've kind of been around and you've seen stuff. And a lot of you know, too, I'm not going to back down either. You know, but I pick my battles wisely now. I'm a little bit older. I'm not that young 20-year-old kid. I'm not that 18-year-old kid that just got out in service there and got into a bar fight, you know, middle of New Haven, Connecticut, Ferry Street, black neighborhood. We're all in there. Three white guys, 32 black guys, probably tore that place up that day. But, you know, I'm not that dumb kid no more, you know. But, there's things that we can do to grow the organization. Grow your word and the message that you're trying to bring. There's lots of key points. I just went over about a good dozen of them there for people. And they're good points. It doesn't, you know, that you can use. And they will work. I can guarantee you they will work. You got to sell yourself to the people out there. I mean, I understand that a lot of the images of, especially when it comes to white, we're criticized and the media is against us, the corporate media. But you also have to know your history. You got to know your facts. You know, you got to know. I mean, listen, not everybody's a genius out there. Not everybody's book smart. Not everybody's street smart. Not everybody's a fighter. That's okay. Everybody's got some talent in you, and there's always a capability of learning. There's always a capability of growing. There's a capability of being in shape. There's lots of capabilities for everybody to achieve certain aspects of the game here. That's just how I see it. I'm going to read a couple more things off to you here that we can do. You know, there's so much out there that's achievable for us. In addition to showing your trust, pledging also opens up further communication with your donors, people that pledge support to your organization. As you can send thank you messages and reminders to them also. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't forget to be transparent about what the pledge is for if people want to pledge things to your organization. After the drive, show people what the outcome of the drive was. Show them all the good that came from a mutually trusting relationship with your members and you. I understand it's hard to trust some people out there. I get that. You know, go the extra mile for your fellow members. You know, every single person you meet has a sign around his or her neck that says, make me feel important. Okay? Does your organization go above and beyond to recognize and take care of your members? Do you guys back each other up? You know? When you can get to know your members personally, call people by their first names, recognize birthdays, anniversaries, whatnot, events, special events, and make everyone feel like they're valued or a member of the team, that's important. Even small touches like this can make a big difference in how people feel about you as an individual or others in that group or that organization, being a member of your organization thereof. And they'll take the others, and they'll talk to others, about how you made them feel and how much you're changing. And you can change your individual communities. Your you start with, you know, your families even. Even the people that are members of the organization within their families. It starts within the home. You know, you got to be a good example. Thank your members regularly. The brotherhood, sisterhood within the organization ranks. You know, when your members feel appreciated, they'll be more likely to talk to you about your, they'll be more likely to talk to you and talk about your organization with others. So, therefore, if you're doing something and you're talking to your members and the brotherhood or sisterhood and whatnot, the members of the organization, you're talking amongst each other, you build up this trust, this community, and you're working together and you build up this working relationship as time goes on, you fight wars together, battles. Let me tell you something. That will go a long way, and that shows, and people see that, and they want to be a part of that. Because right now, the people out there, especially in the white community, they have no identity whatsoever. They are baffled. These kids are growing up in high school. They have no identity anymore. None. They go off to college, and they just become complete losers and geeks and pathetic, not leaders and strong members of their community, especially the white people. The white race out there is just so condemned by the media and made fun of by Hollywood and put down. And even in religious circles now, they're a joke. Create a video, a thank you message from the leader of the organization, and publish that video on your website, your social media profiles, and your email newsletter. Each year, make a list of all the events, services, and educational opportunities for that organization that were made possible by your membership fees. You know, accountability, transparency. Covered that already in the beginning. Publish the list on a separate page of your site and link it to it on a regular basis in your online content and email campaigns. Host a yearly event, which a lot of organizations do, and the NSM does that too, the yearly the Nationals they just had there in April. You know, thank your members. Consider consider maybe a member barbecue or whatever, or a party or something, or a fun gathering. You know, write handwritten thank you notes to your members. In our digital age, of course, you know you can put personalized notes in there and whatnot. You know, you got to get like it all comes back to getting to know each other. Let people brag. I like this one right here. Let people brag. When you make people the hero of your group or organization, it makes them feel special, and they'll brag about it, what they're doing for the organization, all over their neighborhood, within their family, within their ranks. Let me tell you something that goes a long way. I'll give you an example. It's just an example here of another group here. For example, when one trained for months and months to climb a tower in Toronto, part of a fundraiser for the United Way. This is the documented one here for the United Way. He said he wanted to tell everyone he knew about his efforts, and his bragging helped spread the word about it and what he was doing, and he raised money for the organization at a record amount than any other in prior years. In the same way, consider giving people the chance to do something amazing for the organization, something they could feel proud of and talk about to their friends and family members, and brainstorm, man. People come together and brainstorm. You can come up with better ideas than what I'm talking about right now. This is an individual list that I'm coming up with. This is just my own personal studies. And start with yourself. You know, every person you meet is an opportunity to share about your organization and gain a prospective member to the ranks. So, you know, make sure you're always ready to prepare a simple conscience elevator pitch about your organization. And always keep your business cards or literature around so that you, if need be, if you need help, these are great, just great ideas that I'm throwing out there. But what I heard tonight, though, was just absolutely disgusting. You know, to be shunned and ignored, to be part of something and then just made fun of like that. This is the third time now. Strike three, you're out. You know, I'll never call into their podcast again. You know, I'll still do mine. You know, but those three stooges right there, that's clowns right there. That's pathetic. I had about a dozen people call me. They were able to listen. I said, I can't believe that. You know, that's the second time this has happened now to me, you know. But I'm not going to, I'm not going to put down as a whole. I'm going after those individuals because that's what I'm going to do. Because you want to dish it out. Now I'm going to give it out. Let's see now, you know. I fight fire with fire. But to my supporters out there that were called me and emailed me or whatever, hey, you know, things happen for a reason, and everything will come out in the end. I still support them and whatnot. You know, I appreciate the emails that I got. I got about 16, 17 emails, to be exact. I think it was about 17. Let me count them. 17 emails, you know, and they were pretty much pissed off, you know. Joe, how you let those guys talk to you like that? You know, hey, it's not my show. I can't control it. You know, what do you want me to do? Well, you know, well, don't partake in it. You know, but don't partake in that particular night. You know, like I said, second time I did it. I don't want to make a big issue out of it, guys. You know, as far as I just wanted to address it because you guys asked me to, one of my supporters of this podcast. And because, you know, I'm a part of that podcast now. And, you know, and with the political stuff coming up, and I understand identity-wise. And, you know, but I can't hide. You know, or hide my name. I always, you know, stand up for what you believe in. No matter what the hell comes your way. You know what? The ends never justify the means. You mean what you say and say what you mean. And that's how you get by in life. And you don't be ashamed of it, never. But you always be wise on what you do and how you go forward. We're all going to make mistakes and trip and fall. It's how you pick yourself up and go forward that's what matters. Because if you're going backwards, then shame on you. And everyone knows that about me. So I don't even know if I got any callers here on here. I am podcasting live, so if any of my supporters are on here, you're welcome to call in. I haven't checked the board yet. I'm going through my notes right now. I'm checking my emails, and that's what I'm reading from here tonight. I'm not even checking my studio right now, so I haven't checked the call board yet. If any of my supporters, I know it's late here. I know it's, but guys, you know me. I'm up until 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting like 2-3 hours of sleep, if that, you know. I mean, I'm at the end of after a 7-day work week, you know, 10 days. About every 10 days, I crash for about 14 hours. I disappear. How many messages I got on my phone after 14 hours? I mean, so if anybody's out there, sometimes that 1 day or 2 days out of the month, you can't get a hold of me. That's, you know, I crash usually. I got sick. This is the third time I've gotten sick. You know, I had a bad cold, but I kicked it real fast. Went to the gym, sweated out. So, you know, but keep fighting, man. You know, I mean, that's all you can do is keep fighting. Keep working. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And it'll pay off in the end. And I thank the support that I get for this podcast. And I thank the support, you know, for the support that I'm getting for what I'm trying to do here in North Carolina. Let me check the boards here, see what's going on, see what numbers are out there. Let's see, we got about, a good 10, 12 numbers there on the board. Okay, good. Got about 4 private numbers. I'm not even going to try on connecting you. And it's all private numbers, pressing 1. I'm not getting into that conversation. Let me go back to my original speech here. You know, I think that I didn't even check the chat room. No point in checking the chat room. It's just, I don't even know why I have a chat room sometimes anymore. But, you know, like I said, tonight, it was just, you know, the nonsense that was said. I just wanted to address it, you know, for my supporters out there. So, you know, and if people are offended by that too, then that's fine. You know, I still support the organization. And what was I called there? That was just the email I got. I'm not a white supremacist. Isn't that interesting that the white organization out there says I'm not a white supremacist. What was that supposed to mean? I'm not a supporter of my people? I'm not a white supremacist. But yet, how many times have I been attacked over on this podcast saying, I should play those clips on Thursday night show of the people that have called in here and called me a white supremacist, racist scumbag. You know, Confederate flag loving white trash. I mean, I've had the Black Panthers call in here. I remember when I debated them, but I'm not a white supremacist. These people don't know the history, do they? They don't know. They don't know. And as far as the full speed ahead and act like a maniac move, I think I met a guy from the militia movement about 2 years ago that was calling into my podcast show. He had the same attitude. He ended up in federal prison. So it's not smart to do that either. You know, he was one of those ones that, he was a friend of mine, he got arrested for trying to kidnap the governor, the governor out there in Michigan. Wanted me to be a part of that fiasco. No, thanks. I told him he's crazy. I said, you do whatever you're going to do. He didn't tell me exactly what he was going to do, but he was hinting to me. He told me sheriffs. And I was like, I'm not attacking no sheriffs. What are you, crazy? For what? What are you going to accomplish? And look what he accomplished. What was it, 26 of them all together? I remember when they had the meeting down in South Carolina, invited me down there. It was like, well, last year at this time, as a matter of fact. No, thanks. I'll stay up here. Thank you. Glad I didn't go to that freaking barbecue down there. You know, three percenters. You would want someone to recruit me and be a leader. Yeah, okay. You know, listen, man, I support the militia movement. I do. I believe being the training is very important. But to go out there and try to kidnap governors or to talk that way out in the open, especially, is your suicide. That's complete idiocy. You're going to kidnap the governor, hold a trial, and do what? What are you going to do if you convict her? What are you going to do? You know, I mean, that was just asinine. And I know now they're using the defense of we're trying to make a citizen's arrest or something. I mean, listen, man, that's not the proper way to go about it. Violence. Never, never, ever openly condone violence for any type of group out there because you're putting a target on your back. How many times and how many people I've known throughout the years? I remember the guys, William Dodge from Connecticut, Bristol, Connecticut. I remember my buddy, he was a neo-Nazi, Scott Palmer from Wallingford, Connecticut. This is back in 1991. Scott Palmer, U.S. Army vet. Good friend of mine, he's got the tattoos, he's got a fresh swastika on his arm, we're at the bar, he's showing it off in front of everybody, he didn't care who he pissed off, Scott Palmer, yep, got 5 years federal prison, 1994, for what? Got arrested, hate crimes, for what? That's stupid, man, use your head, And luckily, I was off doing something else, or I probably would have got arrested with him. Bill Dodge, George Steele, let's see. Oh, Lord, a bunch of them they brought down the feds, Bristol weapons charges, pipe bombs, come on, man. Use your brains. Well, anyway, this guy, Barry Croft, he was calling the show, like I said, and we met. And we met at the gun rally, actually, and I met through a friend that I knew through a militia movement in mid-1990s. And, I started talking at lunch one day, and we just became friends. And, he becomes friendly with me and starts divulging all this, things that he wants to do. And I'm like, listen, stop right there. I said, I don't want no part of that. And, I like you. I love you as a brother. I mean, you're a good guy. You're down. You're crazy. But when it comes to, that right there is just not happening. And he didn't want, he was fine, and he kind of broke away from me for a little while. I knew he was getting himself jammed up, and I called him to check up on him. I said, hey, you all right? What's going on? Hey, 10-4, I'm all right. Send me a text. I'm real busy. I'm on the other side. And his little code words there. I said, okay, be careful, I knew he was getting himself in trouble. Sure enough, right there on the news. Then all your so-called friends distance themselves. I was trying to see if his daughters were okay. I wanted to make sure he was okay. I know he made a mistake. Doesn't mean I'm going to alienate him. What am I going to be afraid? I know I didn't do nothing wrong. So what am I going to be afraid of? And I remember they were calling into this podcast, busting my balls about it. you know, because he would call, he was calling in all the time. So, you know, I mean, he was a good guy. He just went and took the wrong path, you know, did the wrong thing. You know, a lot of guys do that. But so don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. Don't try to put me down or insult me and denigrate me. So that's not the proper way what happened there, guys, that sent me these emails. But we'll address it. Let's see if they can dish it out. You know, let's see if they can take it. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, because all their talking points were totally false, and the narratives that they were using. I mean, the history of Palestine and Israel, totally wrong. The one guy said he was an ordained minister. Let's see, ordained minister. You know, I can see where he's coming from, his viewpoints and whatnot. But he's an ordained minister. You know, I don't know if I should get into this. I mean, you know, the ordained ministers, they're Christ-like disciples. You know, they basically base their views upon Matthew 28:19-20. You know, much of the preparation is primarily theological. Their biblical character and whatnot, leading toward their ordination into their ministry. Let's see, where he most likely probably studied, you know, the District Ministerial Studies Board. They get a lot of their rules from. They got their own church constitution, historical statement, you know, church government, higher education, ministry and Christian service and whatnot. They got all these rules and roles of their ministry that they go by. I don't know what denomination he was a part of or whatnot, but he said he was an ordained minister, or he was at one time. A lot of their development and their sources come from the International Source Book of Developmental Standards for their belief and foundation, what they're taught. It depends what school you went to or whatnot, so I don't know. I couldn't get into it. They hung up on me too fast, so. I was going to ask him his educational background. I tried calling back in for 2.5 hours. They obviously flat out ignored me. So, you know, which was fine by me. You know, as far as the Israel thing goes, Palestine-Israel, I'll address that real quick here, and then I'll check the board for callers. Anybody wants to call and make a quick comment, they can. I don't screen callers. I don't censor. Yeah, and you know what? I won't hang up on you and cut you off either. You know, I always like to. I don't like to do that to people. But tonight I had to put this out there, so I just felt because of the emails I got, and I just couldn't sleep on it. But let me address this Israel thing real quick. I put together something real quick because I went into my theological notes, and because we studied this in theology, pursuing my degree in theology, and a lot of people don't, you know, the myths that, and you know, the conflict. One of the myths is that the conflict is too complex to possibly understand, and that's you know. Wrong. You know, this basically in many ways, the Israel and Palestine misconception, I guess you can call it, from which all other, I guess you could say, Israel and Palestine misconceptions flow, is that the conflict is impossibly complex. It's a complicated mess, and it's so far beyond human untangling or comprehension that we should not even really try, you know, or any other government should not even try, for that matter, or anybody else in the world. You know, it is true that Israel and Palestine, you know, the conflict over there is complicated, but it's not that complicated at its – but let's put it this way. At its most basic level, the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians is over who gets what land and how the land is controlled. Yes. There are some very thorny details and whatnot and complicated things on how to divide the city of Jerusalem. You know, for example, the list of such details is not impossibly long through these examples, but while these issues can be, you know, very difficult to resolve, grasping these issues is not. It just really is not. I mean, it's basically ignorance. Let's see. Let's look up my notes here. Okay, from American Public. Let's see here. Each side has a very different narrative of the conflict as to what happened. You know, what matters and who bears what responsibilities. So you'll hear a lot of contradictory information, which can be confusing and exhausting. This effect is compounded by the fact that American public discourse, who also splits between the two narratives, But having two versions of history is not all unusual in big conflicts. And it does not actually make the reality of what's happened somehow beyond the human understanding. You know, thirdly, I'd like to say that, you know, pro-Israeli, pro-Palestinian partisans often push the idea that the conflict is complex beyond outsiders' comprehension, or that it is exceedingly simple. My side is that, you know, or their side is right, my side is right. You know, that kind of way of thinking, that there's no in-between or compromise. In both tellings, the conclusion is the same. You shouldn't think too hard to read too much about what's happening. This is sadly effective way to shut down a conversation. It makes people want to ignore the other side's legitimate positions, ignore their own preferred sides, abuses, or simply check out altogether. The effect of all this, by the way, is to yield the conversation to the most, I guess you could say, partisan way, which is one of several reasons why that conversation is basically also so toxic. It also helps serve the status quo of perpetual conflict, which is great news for extremists on both sides that want to see the conflict end through a total military victory over the other. So consider it that your civic duty as a citizen or a human being of the world to ignore the naysayers who insist you could never possibly understand this conflict, okay, because you have that argument out there. Nobody can really understand what's really going on, okay? The conflict is all about religion. That's another misconception, okay? That's totally not true, not true at all. All right, and I think I got into a discussion here on the NSM about this, is that, I pulled up some of my notes on here. The European Jews who first encouraged and organized mass Jewish migration to what we now call Israel in the late 1800s and early 1900s were mostly secular Jews. Their movement, Zionism, treated Jews primarily as a nationality, like the French or Chinese, in addition to a religious group. While a number of Israelis are religiously observant, especially on the political right, the larger movement that created Israel was and remains primarily secular. Initial Palestinian or armed movements were largely secular as well. They were not yet, despite common misconceptions, Islamic extremists. They were Palestinian nationalists, not unlike the Irish Republican Army were Irish nationalists. Some early groups were even officially communist. It is true that more recent groups such as Hamas, which formed in 1987, espoused Islam. But beneath their language of jihad is a significant part, the same nationalist drive of previous groups. Okay, there is one aspect of the conflict which is more overt religious dimension. All right, so I'm going to go into that Thursday night. I'm going to get this out, and I'm going to put this all out here: the seven myths. And get this little subject. So I like to put facts out there because we have to be responsible in reporting and talking on the open airwaves when we're reaching so many people. So let me check the call board here. And again, if anybody wants to call in, and even if anybody's out there listening who disagrees with me, you're more than welcome to. That's fine, time permitting, of course. 657-383-0616. I've already gotten two instant messages already. I got one guy to call me an asshole, so that's fine. It's probably somebody from over there. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I find most of those guys are pretty cool, and they're pretty genuine. I just think the three clowns there that were trying to put me down, or the two clowns there that were hosting the podcast, I don't think they really understand fully the nature or scope of why I'm there or what I'm doing and what I'm trying to promote. And I think that's what it is. And when you don't understand anything or you don't get it, you become ignorant of the fact, and then you get yourself in trouble. So, you know, if we can't trust our own people, then I don't know what we can do. But anybody, press number one here if you want to join in here. Don't be afraid. Let's see. Oh, I don't see. No, let me check the chat room here. Oh, okay. Oh, we had it says the NSM was in there. Oh, okay. The NSM was in there. Sarge just joined in. Just seeing him join in their chat room there. Interesting conversation here tonight I'm having. I'm not trying to make any enemies with the NSM, of course, but I guess they were over here. Well, hopefully they heard what I had to say. Hopefully they did. I don't mind at all. Because on Thursday night when I come on there at 9 p.m., I'm going to, if they, you know, they want to dish it out and piss people off, the host of tonight's podcast, then I'd be more than happy to oblige them. And if we, you know, I'm there, though, not to create divide. I'm there to espouse facts and bring a factual foundation to our republic and coincide with National Socialism and share ideas, because I believe in the collapse of this country that's coming very soon. that we need to have a foundation to stand upon. Now, to sit there and say you want to be a dictator and euthanize people and kill babies because they're born with a defect, I think that is totally insanity. That is insane. And to say that you want to have a dictator run the country, that is totally communist. That is a communist way of thinking. To have a dictator run the country, to have one person making one rule and you have to obey their rules and they run the show, I mean, and we're not a democracy. Another guy, the host, was on there saying tonight that we're a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. Good Lord. I mean, how could you not understand that? All right, let me connect the private caller here. We got some time here to talk. Go ahead there, private caller. Please don't be a crank caller. Go ahead, private caller.
Hey, call me Sarge caller. How you doing, man?
Oh, Sarge. I saw four private callers on there earlier when I checked the boards, right? And they all had one, pressed one, and I was like, oh, no, not four of them. They're crank callers. But then I saw you pop up in the chat room here. So what's going on, Sarge? What's on your mind? I was over there on the NSM tonight, and I got, like, booted off of there.
Now, was someone talking about maybe somebody got too enamored when they looked at the history of the Third Reich and read something about the Tiergartenstrasse Aktion Wehr program. That was the program that called for euthanasia on German citizens before the war.
I don't
did
know.
Did you ever hear of it?
Yes, I did. I have. And
yeah, well, you know, it was enacted by the Third Reich, and when German citizens got wind of it, they started raising so much hell about it, they quietly shelved it.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought they carried it on right through to the end of the war.
Oh, no, they did it to undesirable enemies of the Reich, but they stopped doing it to their own citizens, at least openly. It was
It
was called the Tiergartenstrasse Aktion Wehr program, the T4 program. And
it's quite
a story. I mean, the German citizens, they were actually advocating euthanasia against, you know, mentally disturbed people, mentally retarded, people born with birth defects. They weren't, they were Aryan Germans in many cases. In fact, most of the cases were Aryan German.
Sarge, this guy last night was saying even SIDS, even if you got SIDS. You know, autism. If you're autistic, you should be put down, put to death. I'm like, what?
I think he got a little bit too enamored of the Third Reich there. I got to say, maybe he's a Democrat.
Like,
He might be a Democrat now.
Yeah.
This is in line with Democrat thinking. They're a bunch of Malthusians over there in the Democrat Party. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, they want death panels. Yeah, they want death panels in America already.
Yeah,
most
definitely. I'm really surprised there's somebody openly advocating for that sort of thing, because that thing is, man.
That's
out of eugenics and Margaret Sanger.
Yeah, but they did say good things about you, though. There were a couple callers that stuck up for you on there. I listened to the whole podcast, but they wouldn't let me back on. He hung up on me and disconnected me. I even said, hey, I got a couple more points I wanted to make, and they just disconnected me, shut me right down. You know, I don't know why, but that's their podcast. They can do what they want with it. I mean, I'll have my show on Thursday.
I care about truth, especially when it comes to history. I mean, I know history is subject to revision and history is subject to interpretation. And, you know, there are people who have agendas and want to manipulate history, and I get all that. And that's why I try to read as widely as possible so I can get to what the truth is. All I'm concerned about is what the truth is. You know, that's all I'm concerned about. I mean, I'm concerned about what the truth is.
That's true. And they never talk about the Palestinians.
It advocates my personal beliefs or not. I can fit my personal beliefs into whatever version of history is true. It doesn't matter.
That's true. Yeah, I agree.
I agree 100%. I developed my personal beliefs out of a belief system in objective truth. I am a modernist. I'm not a postmodernist. I believe in objective transcendent truths. I think they are universal,
Sarge,
they stand the test of time at all times and all places.
Sarge, this is what I say is like this. Look, you know what? If you really if you obey the rule of law and follow the Constitution, and we have a moral people, a moral understanding, guess what? it'll all fall into place. Nobody will be a threat to your people because no one's going to, you know what I mean? It all falls in. I don't know how to explain it tonight because it's late, but I've said it many times on this podcast. You know, it's not that you have to get along or forcibly get along and integrate with everybody. What I'm trying to say is that if you have a moral understanding and you believe in the Constitution and you obey the rule of law and you believe in the foundations and principles of this country, everything will fall into place. We'll get rid of the Federal Reserve. We'll fix our monetary system. We'll have individual liberty and freedom, and that's the most important thing anyway. You know, everyone has that right, you know, as a human being. You know, you can't wipe a race of people off the planet. You know, I can't stand – I can't – I will not support that. I will not support killing innocent women and children. I'm
sorry. People have a right to hate me just because I'm black. They got, I mean, if you want to hate somebody, you don't mind to say – why you shouldn't hate somebody. It's not my concern. It's not my affair. I have no intention trying to make you not hate me. All I ask you to do is, I think it should be possible for you to hate me and respect my rights as an American citizen, not only that, a natural-born American citizen, and a person. If you do this, it's fine. You can hate me all you want.
Yeah. I don't have a problem. Yeah, I agree. And listen, I hate ignorance. You know, I mean, I just and look, I'm not going to lie to you. If there's somebody of color that's completely ignorant, like all these BLM members out there, these Antifas, you know, I can't stand them. I'd like to freaking see them.
About Joey,
you know,
I hate
them
too.
You know, but the thing of it is
I hate idiots and morons of any stripe.
Yeah. You know, and they're a threat to freedom. Look, man, I want to see your children, everybody's children, have a right to exist and free. And look, if it's separatism, that's great. Nobody's forcing it. I don't believe people should be forced to live together either. And I don't like the American melting pot idea. I don't like that either. I think it disgraces our fundamental beliefs and our heritage. And you see what's happening. The communists are infecting our way and our belief, and that's what's creating the division amongst the people. That's what creates this type of thinking when you really analyze it.
You're right.
Start, you know?
I got to agree with you, sir. I think a lot of this is just not – look, any of the white friends I've had in my life, we became friends because of our common interests, our common beliefs, our ability to assist and help each other, and it came naturally and organically. It wasn't anything that was imposed on me or them. We both realized the mutual advantage to both of us, or all of us, of being friends with each other, and we're able to help each other out, which is what it's supposed to be. You know, I don't have this notion, I'm just supposed to love you just because you're there. I don't care what the color is. You know what I mean? I'm going to respect your rights, and I'm going to be civil, but I'm going to reserve my love for those people I care because it's hard enough to love them sometimes. You know, much less a stranger.
Yeah,
I mean, some of this
is
silly. I mean, it gets in this wrapped up in this gossamer kind of stupid, drug-addled silliness, and I can't stand it. You know, I mean,
a lot of the Jews do push a lot of this.
And their character and their accomplishments and their inherent good qualities. You don't just show up saying, oh, I got this racial color. You love me. What kind of sense does that make?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's what they're forcing that upon the people, and it creates hatred and division. And the common goal is the enemy. The enemy out there, the globalists, hate us. They hate us, and they don't care what color we are. They can't stand. They want to see us all enslaved.
Yes, we hate our liberties.
They love eugenics.
Just today, we got a glimpse of what they got in store for us with the Green New Deal and the Great Reset. We just see it. Now, it was accidental. I know they didn't have anything to do with it because they don't want us to see a glimpse into the future that they have portended for us. But we saw it today.
Yeah.
We see what will happen if supplies of natural fossil fuel become disrupted. We can see. We got
There's not a gas station open here.
There's not a gas station open.
Yeah.
Those are our enemies. Those are enemies of us. Those of us who want us to be dependent upon a technology of which 60% of the solar panels and 80% of the automobile batteries are made in China. Those are our enemies.
Yeah, that's true.
We best start waking up and start being woke.
Sarge, down here in North Carolina, and right here, I can get on the highway right now and go all the way through Greensboro. There's not a gas station that's got gas right now. There's not one. All of them are closed. Every single pump is closed all the way up and down Battleground Avenue, 220 to 73, all the way up to Martinsville. There's not a gas station open that's selling gas right now. What the hell am I going to do tomorrow? I'm a landscaper. I need gas. I shut down now.
You need some fuel, man. You better make yourself a little tank farm. You know, a little tank farm. Maybe holds 200-300 gallons and bury it, and you can fill it up.
Hey, Sarge, I got some other callers. I got a couple other callers, but no, I'm not. I'll leave your mic open. I got some other callers. I want to connect them.
Yeah, go for it, man.
If you don't mind. Yeah, man. 407. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, this is Nathan in Orlando. How you doing, Sarge?
Hey, Brother Nathan, how's it going, man?
Great, great. You know, you guys kept hitting on something I've been thinking about a lot, like for the last couple months, and that is the subject of respect is nowhere in our culture, in traffic, in dealing with people in political or religious conversations. You hear somebody say, I mean, there's just absolutely no respect. And here's the deal. There is no reason why anyone should not like another person because of the color of their skin, eyes, or hair, or anything like that. But even if you really did hate that about somebody, if you just had respect, you could get in the most heated debate, and neither one of you walk away feeling threatened. You know, and today,
some guy just zips
around you in traffic. I drive a gas tanker for a living, and people zip around and do stuff stupid. And if you flick them off or blow your horn, you know, you could not go home that day, you know?
Oh, I know.
Because they're just asking no respect.
Yeah.
I mean, my neighbor next door, his wife got killed in a road rage incident.
Yeah. You got a dangerous job driving a tanker. My goodness.
Respect has not been completely wiped out of everything today.
Yeah, why is that? How have these people, these elitists and the Hollyweird out there, and the public school systems and the agenda that's pushed upon us? Why do you think that we've lost that as a people? Our hearts have become so hardened, have become wax cold like the Bible says.
I got a real simple answer for you, Joe. Think about it. Think about it real hard. The cult of self-esteem. The cult of self-esteem has been elevated to a virtue, whereas now we have people who engage in the most narcissistic, solipsistic actions imaginable. They literally think the universe revolves around them. That's why they're incapable of respecting others.
And you got the generation that we look back at and laugh at. You know, you have a foot race, and everybody that was in the race gets a trophy. And then all of a sudden, one day they're young adults, and they're demanding everything. And if they don't get it, they know how to do the mob rule thing. You know?
Right. I've been taught I'm so wonderful all of my life that if anything fails in my life, or if things go against me, it's got to be caused by things that are beyond my control, because everybody's been raising and training me all of my life and taught me I'm literally the most wonderful thing in the universe. I am to be cherished. I am to be adored. I am to be worshipped. You know, I mean,
that
it's got to be somebody
else's
fault or somebody else's racism or someone else's you get me down. It can't be anything that I am responsible for.
It's our education.
Yeah, and it's also, Yeah, and it's also that now also it's that if I got you down, I want to kick you while you're down. You know, I mean, if I got to a fight when I was a kid, I won, I would get up. You know, I wouldn't keep stopping the guy's head into the ground.
I remember that.
You shook his hand and walked away.
I remember getting in a fight playing football or doing something, and something happens and you get in a fight. And then after that, it was over. It didn't matter if you won and I lost. We could go back to playing together, and there was that respect that, you know, I'm not going to get you. I'm not going to sucker punch you or anything like that.
And if two people agreed to fight, nobody else jumped in on anybody else's side. Those two had it out until it was over between them.
Yeah.
It's a different day.
It's a different day. It's a sad day. But it's a day that we can have an awakening. You still can have an awakening. You can still wake people up and have them to have some understanding. Some people you just cannot reach. I mean, those people right there are just lost. And I hate to say this, but I don't like to say this, but those people, what do you think, I'll put it out there, what should we do with them? What do you do? I mean, are we going to be just as bad as the ones we're pointing out right now and say, let's throw them off to segregate them or separate them or annihilate them? Or, you know, what do we do?
Here's what scares me. Here's what really scares me. After the Civil War, you know, it was brother against brother, black against white, and we were able to heal, you know, over the generations. Every generation took healing and, reunite back to the next level, and it should have happened faster than it did. But here's the thing both sides had in their favor. They had Christian roots, and in the South, the slaves that were owned by these white people, they had been introduced to the Christian faith. So that was their core conscience. After the war, they had something to build on. Today, what we got is we got an older group of people that want to get back to that, and you got the younger generation that was trained basically in socialism, hedonism, and yep. It's all about me. Yep. And now, listen, this is what scares me. I was thinking of this back when they were saying if Trump wins, America burns. Here's the thing. After it's done, after the war is over, there can be no reconciliation because we don't both have that prior root of conscience that can eventually make us say, hey, man, I'm sorry. Let's give a hug and let's start over again. It's just two completely different ideologies or religions.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think what they're trying to say is this: is that there's no root or foundation principle, because you just said it. After the Civil War, you had that foundation, that moral belief that was introduced, and there was a healing process where people, look, we didn't all get along, but we still, hey, you had a common respect and a common goal of, look, this is America. And we got to make things better for us as a people, you know, even if we're divided. But today, there is none of that anymore. And if we go kicking each other when we're down and we try killing each other, it's not going to happen. You're right.
We live in a country of matter and antimatter. And as well, you know, matter and antimatter cannot occupy the same space at the same time. It cannot happen. And I'm telling you, we're increasingly headed toward this point. These people and the policies they wish to enact and the changes they wish to wrought in this culture are simply intolerable for many of us, if not most of us. We're just not going to accept it.
Yeah, yeah. And look, when we're talking about the National Socialist Movement and whatnot and their beliefs, and look what I've done. I've brought the best. Look, Sarge, you're a great guy. And they even admit that. They say, look, the guy's smart. He's a great guy. And you know most of them, they can't stand black people. You know, but the thing of it is they're listening to what you have to say because, look, the idea does work as you bring the best to the table to work and bring new ideas and bring conversation. And, look, we can achieve our goals. So that there was hopeful, but at the same time, you know, you have the evil-seeded people, the provocateurs, and the people that have filthy, evil agendas that they keep hidden, but they expose themselves little by little. And what they're doing is that they're dividing the good, and they're taking the good, and there's no room for light in a room of darkness. You know, we're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Well, when you got one side that's saying let's put our heads together and find a compromise, and the other side, while they're engaging in that, they're committed to completely over being the only one that wins. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, man. Never really accepted the notion that the greatest terrorist group in the United States was the Ku Klux Klan and the American Nazi Party. I said, okay, maybe they're a threat. Okay.
Somebody's got background noise.
Trying to cut. I got something just came on, and I'm trying to figure out how to cut.
I never really accepted the notion that, the Klan and the Nazis are the greatest threat, especially not lately. Today, the greatest threat this country faces is a form of national security threat to our liberty. It's the progressive left as a whole, and in particular their shock troops, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. They are the greatest domestic threat we face right now. I'm talking about as far as our literal security. Well, I'm talking about within the borders of this country. The progressive left and their shock troops.
Do you see the voting, how they want to introduce how you vote now? No IDs. No ID, no voter registration, no ID whatsoever. I mean, no address,
no
verification whatsoever.
No local control of elections like the Constitution says.
Oh, my Lord.
No rules.
I know.
No rules, which means whatever it takes, we're going to win.
Yeah, and that's bad. Yeah, and so what do we do?
That's what I was part of state for the foreseeable future. They literally do this. H.R. 1 is the most dangerous legislation I have ever seen.
It is. It is.
Yeah,
it's
but you see, here. What? Here's what's crazy, Sarge. Here's what's crazy. That you've seen it. I can't say I have, but there's people out there that have not, and I've heard them being called out, and they have not read it, and they're out there trashing it when they haven't read it. And right there is the whole key. Right there, you know, you just, it's, they got what they want to get done, and they're willing to say something they're even uneducated about.
It's 800 pages. I admit it's hard to read, but I read most of its key provisions, and every single aspect of the thing is unconstitutional, including the words and, the, if, and but. Every single word in the thing is literally unconstitutional.
Do you notice something, Sarge? Remember this gas shortage that they're talking about? Remember this happened during the Obama administration in 2008, same thing with the pipeline. In 2008, they did the same thing with the look it up with the pipeline. If you forgot, I remember gas shortage happened. Yeah, I mean, why?
I still
remember OPEC
in the 1970s, man. It wasn't much worse than that. We haven't seen anything worse than that since.
Oh, I remember as a kid.
You know, on this this recent thing, whenever Biden called on the Keystone to cease. You know, the construction cease.
Yeah.
Here's what's crazy. I drive a gas tanker for a living, so I got an ear for this stuff. When he said, stop building the pipeline, that was a construction project. It has nothing to do with any oil that's being drilled or processed anywhere along the line. And the gas went up a dollar a gallon here in Florida. And it's like, wait a minute, why did the gas go up? It wasn't nobody threw a rock through somebody's window in the Middle East. Nobody got in a fuss over how much we're drilling or what. Nothing. It was just simply a construction project. It'd be like saying, we're building these houses. Okay, cease it. What's that got to do with how much oil is being drilled? And so they're adding to it with this this colonial computer hack. They're driving it up. They're just crashing it into the dirt. They're speeding it up, and they're bringing up every little gunshot across the country so that all these things just get heated up, and they're leading us to a fast panic, a whole bunch of fires all over the place.
Here's
what I think the worst part about this whole thing, like with colonial and energy and everything. Our last president literally had this country energy independent. We didn't need any other nation in the world, no matter what their ill situation was, other than maybe the fact that energy is a commodity, and the prices are going to go up with any commodity when there's a scarcity. But under any regime, this country could get by on what we've got in our own ground, in our own soil, for every one of our energy needs. Now this senile old goat in the White House is literally undoing the very thing that made us completely independent.
Yeah, and listen to this, right? Listen to this. I heard from my sources, and you know, I make predictions sometimes on my podcast because I get people to call in, and I'm not going to say from where or who or why. But I was told, and I didn't really want to put this out there, but they're saying that sometime by August, they're saying that the Constitution is going to be suspended. So I don't know what they got planned, but sometime in the next month or two, something big is going to happen. I'm going to tell you right now, these guys have been right probably 85% of the time. And I'm going, and this is going back 10 years. Everything that I've said they've said to me has come true. I mean, I just don't see what could they possibly have up their sleeve that's going to suspend the Constitution. Will it be China's getting ready to go to war with Australia? Everything's breaking off in Israel. So the world's in chaos. We got our country's completely divided. What can happen? What do you think they can pull off? What kind of false flag
the,
or
the
what
United
what
States
initiative?
Has never in its entire history suspended the Constitution ever, not in any war, not even during World War II when they suspended it in one territory in Hawaii and had martial law. But they've never suspended the Constitution anywhere, anytime, except for temporary periods of martial law in limited localities. So if they're going to try to suspend the Constitution, baby, they better come up with a damn good reason or face all
well,
out
what about
war.
Some? What about some kind of attack on America, like a terrorist attack? Because here's the thing you got to remember. You can sneeze, Sarge, and Biden will come up with a panic and have everybody quarantined. Because one guy sneezed, you know?
Yep.
I mean, so they
I'm just trying to think of anything that would cause them to do something they've never heretofore ever done in the history of the United States. This has been the Constitution. Ever. No matter what the
I'm racking my brain.
I'm just wishing people would read the Constitution.
Yeah, he got that right.
I wish more people would read the Constitution. One of the things I try to do is get in contact with people that teach the Constitution and challenge their thinking on some issues that breaks their, I guess, paradigm is the best way to say it, and I get ignored because they can't see it, and the reason they can't see it is because they know history. And I point out to them, we don't make an oath to history. We make an oath. Here's the way I see the Constitution. You can tell me about when you got married. You can tell me about when you first met, your first date, how her brother-in-law or her dad didn't like you, or you can tell me all this stuff. You're on your wedding day, and your first child, your first everything. You can tell me, look back over your life, but you can. And you ask what his original intent, and I hear people say this, that, you know, they go back to the Federalist Papers or to the convention notes, but your intent, original intent was whenever you stood before the preacher and made that vow, you made a vow to these principles that you wrote out, and that is, when you go down to the mall and you see this good-looking girl, you're sitting there going, woo, baby, what, you just left your Constitution. Get back to it. She's got compassion she's got all my attention. And that was what we made an oath to is what we're willing to die for. And the reason I came up with this, when I was joining the Army, I was raising my arm saying the oath, and I was also thinking, I'm making an oath to something I haven't read. I've read a couple parts, like you can't tell me to shut up and I can't have a gun. You know, you can't tell me that kind of stuff. But that was nothing. That was nothing. That's just that's something everybody knows. Everybody knows John 3:16, even if they're not religious. They've heard it so much. So what I did is I started reading the Constitution over and over and over and over. And then one day I'm looking around and our political system isn't what I see in there. When I start asking the political junkies, they say, well, you need to go read Federalist Papers and name it the number, you know, and I go and read it, and it doesn't look like what. I was like, huh, this is not right. And that's whenever I fell out of the political process as far as being a Republican. I switched to no party affiliate with a vow to never, ever, because I made a vow to the Constitution, to never, ever vote for any Republican or Democrat, only citizen candidates. I'll never see my candidate win. But I just recently talked with a guy. He's a pretty really big name out there that teaches the Constitution. And I told him something that caught him off guard. I told him there is no electoral college in the Constitution. He said yes, and he started explaining it to me. I said, no, you're teaching me history. If you can show me, and I told him I'll make a bet with you, we'll even make it a legal agreement. I'll make a bet with you. I'll bet you a finger. You show me the electoral college as we know it in the Constitution. We'll go to the doctor, and you can pick which finger you want. And I said, but I will exempt the thumbs, because after you get your finger amputated, I still want you to be able to grip stuff. And he said, you know, let me go look at this. And he sent me an email, and he says, Nathan, I've never seen this before, but I pointed several things out to him that we know. Like one of the things was Trump said this. All the states that he had a problem with the things are the states that the legislatures didn't make laws about the election. And I was telling this guy, the states don't have jurisdiction, legal. They don't rule over the federal elections. It says in the Constitution, Congress prescribes law. It says Congress appoints the states. The federal Constitution says the states appoints electors. Now, I'm assuming the states are the people, but again, Article 14, the second paragraph says these white men that first got the vote for the first time on paper, they get the vote for the electors and the president, the electors of president and president and vice president in another election. Then in the 24th, it says the right of citizens to vote in any primary, right there, open primaries is the law of the land, shall not be denied by the United States or any other state for any poll tax or any other tax, like you've got to be a Republican or Democrat to vote in the primary. Now, right there, open primaries is the law of the land, but it says the right of citizens to vote in any primary for president and for vice president and for electors of president and vice president. And in the 12th, and I believe in the 17th, it says they're separate, distinct elections. If one gets voted in and one gets voted in another election, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that there's two candidates on any one ticket. That started in 1800 whenever Aaron Burr, the vice president, won, just like I said. And then afterwards, he's undermining the team. So they decided, let's go to the president, picks the vice president, his vice president. I would say I agree with that. But let's amend the Constitution, because that way we're not living a lie. And there's so much that we've made up along the way.
I want you to do something now. I want you to check out Republic for the United States of America. Okay? Check out that website right there. That's the interim republic. That's the de jure. And on there it's got the Northwest Ordinance, okay, that was signed in 2010. And you look that up and you tell me, since you're a student of the Constitution, and you study that right there, and it's got all the resources and all the records, and they probably don't got a republic for your state in Florida there, but look up that website I just gave you, and you tell me what you think of that.
Okay, now let me say this again. I'm going to write it down.
It's Republic for the United States of America. It's information about the interim government restoring operations under the Constitution for the United States of America, and that's an official website. And they have and you study that website, and I'm going to tell you right now, you look that up, and you go to the resource library that they have on there, and it will show you everything you just talked about, but it's going to say things. Now, remember, everything you just said, citizen and whatnot, you've got to remember, words have meanings, and they changed it along the way. Citizen, person,
well,
citizen.
Okay, now,
all right?
Something I've noticed about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the amendments. They are amazingly coherent. I mean, they repeat themselves over and over and over, and I'm assuming for the purpose of not being really – whenever the Constitution was written in the beginning, they came up with a law that said, you know, and it makes sense. You got a bunch of peasants. They're farmers, mostly illiterate, and you know, it'd be easy for – me and Sarge just start a business and then hire a bunch of people that could, by mob rule, take our company away from us. So we would have to put in some legal agreements to protect ourselves. And I understand that they probably had that fear. So they come up with rules like only property owners can vote, which, I'm happy with that. Let's amend the Constitution so that a person can aspire to one day buy his land and be a property owner, pay taxes, and be able to vote. I would be for that. But they didn't get these white men didn't get the right to vote until the 14th Amendment. They've already had the right. You know, it didn't say we the politicians
of
the federal government.
Yeah, that's correct. But if you look at
the
flag, but you got to remember everything. A lot of things, symbolism and whatnot. You look at the Flag Act of 1777, Flag Act of 1794, and you look at if you go to that website and you look at the Proclamation of Claim and Interest of the Republic for the United States of America, okay, and that's dated April 30th, 2012, and it's got all the official sealed stamps on there. They went to the Hague, they went to the the hang on, I'm pulling it up right now because I got the document right here in front of me. They went to the this is what the first paragraph says: to the United States of America, Department of Defense, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and to the world and all the peoples and all public and private persons and United States Municipal Corporation and subsidiaries, ETAL, and the International Court of Justice at The Hague, and the United Nations, and the Universal Postal Union. Okay, and they go on, and they put this on record back in 2010 and 2012, and this is the Republic. This is the official de jure Constitution, the original Constitution. Now, you see, what they did was they usurped this after the Civil War through the Reconstruction Acts of 1871, and that's what then of course, you know about the Federal Reserve Act. I'm sure if you know about this stuff, you must know about that. And then 1933, what happened, and so on and so forth. Now, if you study this website, and it gives you tools and resource library that you can compare, it's not just somebody's propaganda. It gives you the resources to look up yourself. And I'm telling you right now, I've had these people on my podcast over the years. I know some of them personally. If you know this much and you get it, you obviously get it, and you're awoke, you'll understand what I'm saying when I said check out this website and go to this link. It's an official site.
You ever heard of Bruce Ray? You ever heard of Bruce Ray Riggs?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. DirtyUncleSam.com. Yeah. He's, I think, talking a lot of the stuff you're talking.
Yeah. And it's true.
I'll go check it out.
And it's contracted. We were contracted by deception. You know,
here's what I'm saying is I read, without knowing history, I read the Constitution raw, and then I'm looking at stuff and I can't see our process in there. This is what I'm saying is most people have been taught history and not, I heard Jim DeMint going to do teach on the Constitution at Hillsdale College. He got up there and he talked about the Constitution. Never once quoted from the Constitution. Never once referenced anything in it. And the thing he was going to be teaching was the Constitution. And I sat there and through the whole thing and I just like, you know, he just taught the history of it. This was back before computers. I called the because I was looking at the 24th on the president and the vice being president and the electors, and I called the the Library of Congress in Washington D.C. and they put a lawyer on, and I was asking them when they wrote the Constitution, who is it that writes it, and he said, every time they put a new amendment in, the Library of Congress puts a team on it, and they structure the language of what this new one to make sure that it's not so much consistent with history, but consistent with what was written in the Constitution before it. And that was what I was really impressed with because, you know, it's like this. Well, you can't drink whiskey. Okay, now you can. You've got that clear. You got an amendment that says you can drink. You can't drink, and then one that says you can. You know, and that's what I was telling this guy recently. You know, if you wanted to repeal, and somebody said repeal, make an amendment to repeal the Electoral College, I said you can't repeal what is not in there. You know, and so what we know is our history. And so I just know the Constitution more raw as it is written than I do history. I've studied a little bit, not a history buff, you know. I can't go back and tell you dates and stuff like that. But the big thing with me, I had a religious experience a few years before I joined the military. And I had learned something about an oath. An oath is a core, not a pinky promise. It's a promise at the core of your being that you're willing to pay all costs, even up to death on. And that reminded me of the marriage vows. You're making marriage till death do us part. What about when this guy starts getting a big old gut and gray hairs? Or what about when she starts getting a big behind you know, and she nags too much. Yeah, even through that, you made an oath to that, to this woman, to this person, to give your whole life for serving her the rest of your life, or her or him. And so that was kind of fresh in my mind whenever I was taking the oath. So I just got real familiar with it, and that's been basically the edge or the standard that I've always went off of when I'm looking at the political process. But I don't see anywhere where the states have the rights to make laws over federal elections, because it says after every amendment in the Bill of Rights and at the end, there's another article that says Congress shall enforce this with appropriate legislation. And I'll give you a good picture of what this looks like. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and then he gave him in the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Torah, which translated means the law, gave him 613 laws that legislates each one of those Ten Commands. Now, it says in other places, like in James, that if you break one law, you're guilty of the whole law. It's that thorough. So when I steal from you, I actually did so many more other laws in the process. You know, I didn't love you the way I should love God and love myself. You know, so it just keeps on spreading. I'm really guilty. I'm guilty of the whole law. And the Constitution is formed after that. But the problem is we don't know how many laws we got. And here's a good example. You know, some guy runs across the border, and we say, hey, man, you're a criminal. You're not supposed to be here. You're illegal. And he says, well, all I want is a better life. And we say, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll give you amnesty and rewrite the immigration laws and call it immigration reform. How many times have we done that? And, you know, I don't know if you know the word reprobation, but reprobation is when our standard is when our experience is the standard of our experience. It just keeps getting lower and lower. But if you got a speed limit sign and you're enforcing it, and I go 1 mile over the speed limit, I got a ticket. I pay my ticket, and that restores me back to the order of the law, you know. And we're not doing that. And I think this is a big part of the no respect that we see, that I keep seeing. So I didn't mean to get you off credit.
No,
off,
you're
I mean,
okay.
Off
That's fine.
Of
yeah.
Your conversation.
You check out the Northwest Ordinance, and you check out the document that was served to the government back in 2012, and the de jure grand juries that were put together, and you read that entire document, and which was signed and served, and it's there. The interim government is there waiting. It's just that the people of this country have to accept it, and if you go all the way down, you'll see the Republic headquarters too,
right.
and you'll see what's going on. I mean, they have to accept.
So this
to,
is going
to
be.
It's hard to explain.
But it's a, so this is going to be a like an amendment process where the states have to agree on it.
The states have already agreed upon it. This has already happened back in 2010
when the states,
and 2012.
When you say the states, are we saying the politician or the people?
No, the people, okay, and the governors
were
already served.
The people did agree with it.
Yes, they did. The people did agree. If it was already
okay.
If you go to that website, you read that document, you'll see what I'm talking about. If you know the Constitution at all, you will read what happened. You'll be like, all this happened and I didn't hear about it? Trust me. It was people that I guess you could say that were, I guess, really entrenched in what was going on in America back in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. The Ron Paul thing. Remember when Ron Paul was around?
Yeah.
And he was there with this.
Yeah.
He was a part of this. And, you know, and Obamanation came into play. And Obama, we thought, you know, Obama was going to sell us out to socialism and everything, which he started the first foot into the door there with the – we're taking over our medical field. But if you read that document, you'll be like, wow. And if you'll think back, you'll say, you'll start looking up stories and doing internet research. You'll be like, wow, this guy's right. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And you research that, and trust me. And these people are still around. They're in play right now. They know what's going on. And that's where I get 99% of my information from. That's why I'm usually correct. And the military was on board,
you know,
too.
You know, about
yeah,
that
man.
Time, during that time you're talking about, it's like, in a sense, like now,
I think we're going to get a more stronger frequency of it. But like then,
yeah.
Just like now, there's a whole bunch of fires all over. And while we're paying attention to all these different fires and trying to put them out, there's a lot going on that we won't learn about until after it's all over. We'll go, wow,
you got
where did
that right.
Come from?
That's a good point.
You know?
You just made an awesome point. You got made an awesome point right there. You're absolutely correct. Hey, Sarge, you want to wrap it up here for me? Oh, Sarge, I think Sarge just dropped. I got to wrap it up because they're going to be cutting me off any
second.
Oh,
my God.
I hope
I didn't run them off.
Nah, you're all right. Hey, thank you for tuning in tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm usually not on this late anyway. I was talking about something else. But anyway, I'm usually on about 8 o'clock on weekdays, usually Sundays and Fridays. 8 p.m. Understanding
okay,
the times in which
I
we live today.
I listen to you on occasion, but when I listen to Sarge, I met him through a couple shows, like I guess 100 years ago, and I'm always impressed with how knowledgeable.
Yeah,
how knowledgeable
Sarge
he
is a good man.
Yeah,
he's a good
I
man.
I think
he's a good
probably
man.
Around 2004 or 2005 when I met him. But thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, man, of course, anytime, tune in. You're obviously very well knowledgeable, and, you're obviously someone that cares about America, and that's very rare today. That's a dying breed, and you care about people, the human race, and that's important, too, because we're in trouble as a people around the world, so not just America.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to get ready to wrap it up. I'll close it out with this, just a little intro there I usually play, hey. Thank you, everybody that did tune in there. I know a lot of people did tune in. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless the Republic, and tune in next time. Take care.
Let's talk to Will in Arizona. Thanks for holding her on the air.
First off, I am a Prison TV Planet member.
Awesome, brother. Go ahead and do your points, and I'll hold you over if need be.
If you really want to have an unabridged idea of what is going on today, look at it's actually a YouTube video, but it's a documentary. Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. He actually kicked out a lot of the bankers because they were trying to implode Germany after World War I. And it was the bankers. And when I was watching that, it was 5 hours long. And I started listening and saying to myself, wait a minute. They are just repeating history, but because we are so dumbed down in the sense of our historical knowledge.
Well, I haven't seen the documentary you're talking about. People can, I guess, check it out for themselves.
In the very well-made, excellent, and moving documentary called Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. I want you to do something for me as well, and I would really appreciate it. Before you listen to this interview, I want you to watch the documentary. I know you want to listen to this program right away, but if you haven't already seen it, I want you to stop this program right now and go watch the documentary first. And I'm adamant about watching the documentary because one of the biggest hurdles that the majority of people seem to have, they're basically just kind of set in their ways, and they argue that they already know everything that they need to know concerning this topic. Well, I can promise you, people, you don't know one-tenth of it.
I seriously had a panic attack after I watched that documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told. And for days afterward, I was really shook up. It had such a profound impact on me, and everything started making so much sense, and I felt I've always felt kind of betrayed by the powers that be, but I felt more betrayed than ever. Mm-hmm. And I started looking back on my entire life, and looking back at all the movies that I'd seen.
I just couldn't believe it. I thought, if they could pull off this, then anything is possible. Anything.
Yeah.
You know, and... that one, you know, I would encourage anybody watching this or listening to this to watch that hasn't seen that documentary to watch it and go back
with an open mind.
Open mind and listen to that interview that you did with Dennis Wise recently.
But that's most likely what got us censored from iTunes, by the way, too, that show.
Yeah, well.
That shows what we're not allowed to talk about. It's off limits, you know.
And that's what, when I was going through that sort of panic attack realization, that was it. That was the big red flag. I was like, oh my God, like of course we're not being told the truth because we're not allowed to talk about this issue. When you're not allowed to talk about something, then that's like the red flag right there. If it's off limits, then that's the thing you need to talk about the most.
And the rule to remember is that history is written by the winner.
I can promise you, people, you don't know one-tenth of it. We'll be right back.
councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.